As the Rebbe was just explaining, Kino Yud Tes is asking the question, Lama? If we have permission to ask of HaKadosh Baruch Hu why these things happen, Kino Yud Tes, I think, gives us a big piece of the answer. It's not a very pleasant Kino to recite. As I mentioned before, Tisha B'Av morning is an honest morning. And the answer to the question, and many of the questions that we have Rishus to ask on Tisha B'Av, which is a Chiddush, where Soloveitchik explained that it's unique that we give ourselves permission, or Kadosh Baruch Hu, better said, gives us permission to challenge and to ask, back in Kina Zayin, Eicha Atzta Ba'apecha, how could you do this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We had a few moments ago in Kina Yud Gimel, Eicha, where all the promises that you made, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just now, Kina Yud Ches, Lama, Lama, Lama. The Rav explained, usually the response is, Baruch Dayan HaMes, we don't ask questions. It's a morning where we have a unique permission to challenge HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But part of what Rabbi Neuberger was just referencing as we move towards some type of reconciliation, something that I spoke about a lot recently in Shul, in the Drashos, is that it's incumbent upon us to take achrayas for all the lamas. Hashem, where are your promises? Hashem, how could you do such a thing? How does such an exalted people become so downtrodden? It says Kina Yud Tes in a very honest and harsh and humbling way, Lecha Hashem Atztaka V'lanu Boshes Hapana. At the end of the day, let's not kid ourselves. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just. Kel Emunah Ve'in Avel Tzadik V'yashar Hu. Hashem is a just and honest and true God. And therefore, we're forced to say, Lecha Hashem Atztaka V'lanu Boshes Hapana. This is the part where we say to ourselves, if there's a problem here, it's our fault. It's not a Kadosh Baruch Hu's fault. At the end of the day, we take achrayas for everything that didn't happen, or hasn't happened, or did happen. When the state of Israel was being established, obviously to fight and to create such a bracha in our times was a challenge. And unfortunately, many lives were lost. And someone once approached the Brisker Rav at that time, and said, Rebbe, you know, I really feel, as Rabbi Neuberger was saying, people like to sometimes offer their sagely and prophetic advice as to why things happen. So someone came to the Brisker Rav. This is recorded in the Sefer Shaila Torah on the Moadim, on Yom Noram. Someone came to the Brisker Rav and said, you know, Rebbe, I think it's all the Chil Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael, parts of Eretz Yisrael, that's causing the loss of Jewish life and the establishment of the state. And the Brisker Rav, who certainly had his opponents and certainly was a strong force in terms of voicing his own opinion, sometimes very unpopular in his positions, he was certainly a knoi in an emistic sense, but the Brisker Rav was very upset to hear someone say that the reason that people are dying when fighting for the establishment of Eretz Yisrael is because of Chil Shabbos. To point the finger at someone else, the Brisker Rav referenced the pasuk in Yonah. Let's think about this for a second. Yonah's on a boat filled with Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Filled with Ovdei Avodah Zarah. And Yonah, even if he's a rebellious prophet at this moment, he's a prophet. He's a Navi Emes, a Navi Hashem. He got his Nevuah, he got his Ruach HaKodesh at the Simchas Beis Shoev, according to the Talmud Yerushalmi and Sukkah. And now, all of a sudden, they come knocking on his door. What's going on with our boat? Says the Brisker Rav, listen how Yonah responds to a boat filled with Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Vayomar aleihem, sa'uni, lift me up, v'hatiluni aleihem, and throw me into the ocean. Throw me into the water. And you'll see v'yishtok hayam aleichem, and that'll put an end to all of your troubles. Ki yodeya ani ki b'shali hasar ha'gadol hazeh aleichem. Yonah doesn't point a finger to the many different types of idol worshippers on his boat. Yonah says, you're right, if there's a problem, you're right, it's my fault. B'shali hasar ha'gadol hazeh aleichem. He didn't make any excuses, he didn't point fingers. He said, as we're about to say, Lecha Hashem Atztaka V'lanu Boshes Hapanim. If there's a problem, it's very easy for us to look around and find someone else to blame. But to be able to say, you know what? I, as an individual, as a tzibur, but also as an individual, have to take achrayas for things that aren't working out.
Moshe Weiss Shlita, in his volume on the Mo'adim, has a beautiful essay, a very powerful essay, on Tisha B'Av. And he has a very frightening diuk in a Talmud Yerushalmi in Yoma. The Gemara in Yoma says, it's often misquoted, Amru, Talmud Yerushalmi says, it was said, Kol dor she'enu nivna biyamav, in any generation where the Beis HaMikdash is not built in its time, malin alav ki'ilu hu echriva. So Rav Asher points out, it's not the way that people quote it. People say that if you don't build the Beis HaMikdash, then ki'ilu charav biyamav. More passively, it's as if it was destroyed in your times, which is bad enough. Rav Asher says that's not what it says. He's medayik, it's really a double diak, we'll put it together. That a person or a generation that doesn't see the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, malin alav hakasuv ki'ilu hu hechrivo. The who could be talking to the tzibur, and Rav Asher says it's even talking to the individual. A Jew has to sit on Tisha B'Av and say, how did I, as an individual, who didn't even live in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, cause, or how do I continue to cause, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash? Malin alav ki'ilu hu, as an individual, hechrivo. To be able to point to myself and say, "Bishali hasar gadol hazeh," this whole mess is my own fault. Because if bishvili nivra ha'olam, if a Jew believes, like the Rav said earlier, that one Jew could change the course of the world, whether it's the Rav Soloveitchik or the Yoshiyahus, or the different leaders or the individuals who could change the course of humanity, a Jew has to say at this moment, "Lacha Hashem atzdaka v'libo shesapan," that I'm embarrassed. The things that I've done, which are so antithetical to a life of Geula, to a life of Mikdash, to a life of Kedusha. Rav Asher quotes a Gemara in Gittin Daf Nun Ches. Gemara tells a strange story, Maisim Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. Yeshua ben Chananya found himself in Rome, and he finds out that there's a Jewish boy who's sitting in prison, a child in jail, who's apparently very beautiful and very brilliant. And Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya comes to visit him. And he sees his beauty, and he sees his brilliance, and he sees his potential in Torah. And Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya is so overwhelmed by this sight of this child sitting in jail, and he says, "Muftachani bo shemor horal b'Yisrael." I'm confident this person could become a gadol b'Yisrael, posek. He could become someone who issues piskei halacha amongst Klal Yisrael. Avoda, I swear, she'ein izaz mikan ad shavdenu b'chol mamon sheposkin alav. Whatever it takes to get this kid out of jail, no matter how much it's going to cost, I'm prepared to pay. Amru was said about that incident. Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya didn't leave Rome until he redeemed that child from captivity. He became one of the great poskim of Klal Yisrael. More than just Stam a posek, who was he? He says the Gemara lets us in on the secret. Umanu, Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha. There's none other than Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha, who Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya recognized has this unbelievable koach, this unbelievable potential in Torah and in the Vodas Hashem. So Rav Asher Weiss says, so what did he see? What did he see in this kid that he was so impressed by? What was so captivating about this child? Why was he so sure? I swear he's going to become a Gadol B'Yisrael. His Piskei Halacha are going to be printed. His Shailos and Tshuvos. The Gemara says that there was a give and take, a conversation coded in Pasuk, and a Pasuk in Yeshaya, between Rabbi Yeshua and this Yalid, who again was Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha. Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya quoted the first half of the Pasuk, Mi nasan l'mishisa Yaakov, how could it be that a descendant of Yaakov is so downtrodden, and Yisrael levoses him, how could it be that a Jew sitting in jail, such a beautiful Jew, such a beautiful sweet child sitting in jail, how could it be? And the child finished the Pasuk, Yeshaya Perek Membeis, Hello Hashem Zu. This is part of Hashem's master plan. This is part of Hashem's decree. Chatanu lo, we've sinned against Hashem. V'lo avu b'drachav haloch, we haven't walked in the ways of Hashem. V'lo shamu b'tarasso, they haven't listened to His Torah. Okay, smart kid, he knows how to finish a pasuk in Yeshaya Baal Peh. But that's why Rabbi Yeshua was so sure he's going to be a posek amongst Klal Yisrael. God will be Yisrael. What was it? What did Rabbi Yeshua see in this child? Quoting the end of the Pasuk. What would have been hard for this child to quote the end of this Pasuk? So let's look again at the Pasuk. Says Rav Asher Weiss, Chatanu lo, we have sinned against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How did the Jewish people become downtrodden? we have sinned against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'lo avu b'drachov haloch, and they didn't want to walk in his ways. V'lo shamu b'taraso, and they didn't want to listen to his Torah. To be able to say we, to be able to say me before I say him or them, is a chashuv thing. Especially if you're sitting in jail. This little boy could have blamed it on a lot of things. He could have blamed it on a crumbling Jewish society. He could have pointed fingers at his Roman oppressors. There were a lot of people he could have pointed a finger to, and it wasn't just that he was quoting the pasuk, but he was living the pasuk. Somehow this young child, who had the potential to become a manig b'Yisrael, understood, to be a manig b'Yisrael, you have to take the acharis upon yourself first and foremost. Before you blame others, before you blame the situation, Rabbi Yeshua saw the depth of his responsibility that he took upon himself when he said, Chatanu, we have sinned, I have sinned, before he said, they don't listen to the mitzvahs, and they don't follow the Torah, which may also be true. He said, this is a child who's going to lead the Jewish people. V'kachav, and that's what happened. And Rabbi Yeshua himself took achrayus for this child to make sure, at all costs, I'm going to get this child out of jail. What's the difference between Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur? There's a relationship. There's a relationship in terms of the fast. There's a relationship on some level, not really for now to get into, in terms of a certain kapara that takes place during these days. What's the same and what's different about Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur? Pia Zetzner Rebbe, Hashem should avenge his blood, he died during the war. He left us a small diary called Tzav Vezirus. And he described in Os Dalid the difference between two types of doctors. A phony doctor and a true doctor. A false form of healing and true healing. He writes, sometimes a person just wants to deal with symptoms. And sometimes a person realizes, I have a disease and I need to fix the disease. He writes in the Tzav Vezirus Os Dalid, when a person has a spiritual illness, don't be satisfied simply by able to maintain one's composure, to control the symptoms, to not display one's illness externally. It's a very it's a crude lashon, but it has to be read. V'tismach rak al shesegarta espicha shelo teitzei haki. That a person, like a person who needs to vomit and just keeps their mouth, they slam their mouth shut so that they don't display the illness inside of themselves. He describes a person who goes to a fake doctor who gets a couple of pills and it calms the nausea. But the person is sick. And sometimes a person needs to deal with the internal wound. Fix your wounds. Don't just treat the symptoms. Maybe a new illness will emerge. So what, I'm not going to deal with my current illness because maybe there'll be a new problem. I'm just going to keep putting a band-aid on top of it. It's just going to get worse and worse. The wound is going to fester. Throw the garbage out. Deal with it in a proper way. Even if yes, chas v'shalom, it's going to come back again. Chazal tells us when it comes to uprooting avodah zarah, the Gemara is very clear. Avodah zarah daf mem hey, ha'okir avodah kochavim tzarech l'sharish acharah. When a person uproots an asherah tree, an avodah zarah plant, you have to dig out the roots. It's not just enough to fix the symptoms. And therefore, some svarim explain what's the difference between Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. In a certain sense, and I say this very cautiously, there's something even more real, more authentic, more honest about Tisha B'Av than Yom Kippur. Because in Yom Kippur, we come to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, we come to the doctor, and we say, Rabbono Shalom, we need you to fix us. We're sick, lifnei Hashem titaru, we're going to come close to you, the way of Salvation described, rubbing up against the soap, so to speak, and we're cleaned. We wear white, we're cleaned on the outside. What happens on the inside, hopefully a lot as well. But there's a desperate need to just be fixed on Yom Kippur. On Tisha B'Av, I read in the Sefer, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, we want x-rays. And we want blood work, we want biopsies, we want scans. We want to really understand what's going on. How did we do this to ourselves? And how have we been ignoring the illness and just treating the symptoms in an irresponsible way for too long? The great Maggid of Yaakov Galinsky once explained, he said if there's a highway, a dangerous highway, a broken highway,
The way to deal with all the accidents on the highway is not to build a good hospital at the end of the highway. It's to fix the highway. It's to fix the broken highway so people don't get injured and you don't need that hospital at the end of the highway. And that's what L'cha Hashem Atztaku V'lanu Bosh Zapanim is about. We ask ourselves on a day like today, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why hasn't Mashiach come? Lama? We just asked in the Kina right before this. Lama? It's a good question. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi himself in the Gemara asked that question to Mashiach himself. Sanhedrin Tzadikha Samar Aleph. Ozel L'gabei, he asked Mashiach, Shalom Aleichem Rabbi Umori. Shalom Aleichem Bar Levi. Shalom Aleichem ben Levi. Yeshua ben Levi. Amar Lai La'imas Asimar. Mashiach, when are you coming already? Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi spoke to Mashiach. Amar Lai Hayom. I'm coming today. Gevaldik. Get the word out. Post it on Facebook, Twitter, local newspapers. Get the word out. We got to hurry. Nu, a while later, also Legabe Eliyahu, a while later, wasn't that same day, obviously. He met up with Eliyahu Hanavi. Amar Lei, Eliyahu Hanavi had told him how to find Mashiach by the gates of Rome. Very interesting, Gadata. Amar Lei, nu, my Amar Lecha, what did Mashiach say to you? Amar Lei, Shakure Kashakrivi, he lied to me. He told me he's coming today, and that today was already many weeks ago. Amar Lei, Eliyahu said, you didn't understand what he was saying. You know what he was saying to you? No, Mashiach was saying to you. Hayom, I'm coming today. But Hayom in Bekolo Tishmau. I'm coming today if you're willing to listen to my voice. I'm ready if you're ready. L'cha Hashem Atztaka. V'lanu Boshes Apanim, but we're not ready. Tzadikim explain, we take off our shoes on a day like today. Because shoes are for people who are moving forward. Shoes are how we travel. Shoes are how we progress. We take off our shoes and acknowledge the fact that we haven't really progressed enough. Maybe dealing with the symptoms, we've done our part. But in terms of really dealing with the illness, really fixing the illness, b'sharsho, to abruti avodazar at its shorosh, in bein adam l'makum and in bein adam l'chaver, we haven't done our part. V'chanan Wasserman says, and he writes in Kovetz Ma'amar, how often we take credit for the things that we do right, and we blame a Kadosh Baruch Hu for the things that don't go well. For the evil in the world, that's a Kadosh Baruch Hu's fault. And for the struggles in my life, that's a Kadosh Baruch Hu's fault. For all the things I'm doing right, that's me. L'cha Hashem Atztaka V'lanu Boshes Apanim. And of course, one other aspect of this feeling of L'cha Hashem Atztaka V'lanu Boshes Apanim that we haven't spoke about enough, but is an integral part of this whole Chorban, is of course the element of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. L'cha Hashem Atztaka V'lanu Boshes Apanim. There's a story that Rav Moshe Green, who was a Rebbe in Shar Yashiv for 3 decades, shared a couple of years ago, shared in the context of Shavuos. I'd like to borrow that story in the context of Tisha B'Av. He said he was driving near his home in Queens one day, and bumpy road, broken highway. Next thing you know, his car's on the side of the road and he needs help. So he calls AAA and he gives his location, and a short while later, a truck pulls up behind him, and a Latino fellow in mid-60s gets out. And he comes over and he introduces himself. He says, my name is Donnie. D-O-N-N-Y. My name is Donnie. Latino fellow. Okay. And he sees this Rav Moshe Green and he starts speaking to him in Yiddish. This Latino fellow starts speaking to him in Yiddish. So he laughs. He says, are you Jewish? So he says, no, I'm not Jewish. So he says, how do you know Yiddish? So he says, what do you mean? I learned it from one of your buddies. So he says, who's my buddy? He says, you ever hear of Rabbi Yoel Teitelbaum from Williamsburg? So he says, you mean the Satmar Rebbe? Yeah, I've heard of the Satmar Rebbe. So he says, I learned it from him. I learned Yiddish from the Satmar Rebbe. He says, you learned Yiddish from the Satmar Rebbe? And this fellow goes on to describe that he was a retired cop, NYPD. And he said one of the assignments that he had on his job was to protect the Satmar Rebbe from the Hasidim. Anyone who's ever been, at least by certain chassidus, by a tish, it can get pretty pushy. People want to get close to the rabbi. You need crowd control. So, the leaders in Satmar are smart. They know us wimpy Jews can't provide enough protection. So they hire this Latino guy to dress up like a chassid. He would sit there with a beard by the tish, and they gave him fake payas, and they gave him the whole chassidic garb, and he sat there, and his job was to make sure that no one would start up with the Satmar Rebbe. Satmar Rebbe was also an outspoken person. and to make sure no one would try to infiltrate, cause any trouble for the Satmar Rebbe. And he's telling this whole thing, he said, I picked up Yiddish by hanging out with the Satmar Rebbe. So Rabbi Green is fascinated by this whole thing. He says, how did you know who was an authentic chassid, who was an imposter? How did you know someone was trying to infiltrate, someone was trying to start up with the Satmar Rebbe? So he said, you know, you Jews, you're always hunched over, because you spend so much time hunched over the books. If I saw someone come in and they were standing up a little too straight, I was already nervous that maybe he's an outsider, he doesn't belong here. And if he's a chassid, he's not such a good chassid. We kept him to the back. We wouldn't give him access to the rabbi. The conversation's going on, and finally this Latino retired cop says to him, he says, let me ask you a question. Are you familiar, Rabbi Green, are you familiar with the term Yiddish a cup? So he says, yes, I'm familiar with the term Yiddish a cup. He says, you Jews are pretty smart, no? He says, yeah. You say so? No? People say the Jewish people are pretty smart. So this Latino cop says to him, this retired Latino cop who's fixing his flat tire says to him, so let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a very simple question. I've heard that the Jewish people used to have a temple in Jerusalem. Yes, we used to have a temple in Jerusalem. And I've heard, it was explained to me over the years, that the reason, I asked one time, why does the temple no longer stand in Jerusalem, was explained to me because the Jewish people can't get along with each other. So he says to Rabbi Green, he says, so if you Jews are so smart, why can't you figure out how to get along with each other? And Rabbi Green said, I had nothing to say. He shared this in the context of Shavuos, ki ish echad b'lev echad at Har Sinai, as a prerequisite for Kabbalah Satorah. But it's certainly equally true as we sit here on the floor this morning. For us Jews who are so smart, for all our Nobel Prizes and all our Chidushei Torah, for all the Rabbi Akiva Egers and the Rabbi Baruch Beers that we've learned, or at least other people have learned, right? How have we not figured out for 2,000 years how to get it together? L'cha Hashem atztakav alanu boshes apanu. And that's part of the feeling, that's the Bein Adam L'Chaveiro aspect as we sit here on the floor. As the Medrash says, and with this I conclude, the Medrash says in Tana Debei Eliyahu, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want from us? Of all the things we could give HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all the karbanos that we could offer in the Mikdash, Hashem says in one simple Maimer Chazal, Kach Amar Lem HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Yisrael, my beloved children, Klum Chasarti Davar Shevakesh Mikam. Is there anything I really need from you, Klal Yisrael? Is there anything I want from you, Klal Yisrael? What do I ask of you? I just want my children to get along. We point to ourselves in this moment, on a day where we're given rishus to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why did you do this? Why did you do that? But we say to ourselves, that the fault is my own. And we decide to look internally and to finally seek that healing that we need so desperately on the inside of our neshamas. Cha Hashem atzlaka. Ve'os az asher yifleis ha'mi'oz v'yarata. Ilanu boshes ha'panin v'china asher nitrachnu v'osanu t'yavto. Ve'cha Hashem atzlaka v'goy mikarev goy l'kachat maso. Ilanu boshes ha'panin v'dof l'sherim tzavadu. Ma'aseye maso. Hashem atzlaka.